Mizmor Lamed Dalet. Mizmor Lamed Dalet, the story of David and Achish. What is the story of Achish? Achish was a melech, a king of the Palishtim. And this goes back to the time when David was running away from Shaul. And when David was running from Shaul, David had to leave. One of the main complaints that David had in this incident was his complaint against Shaul: because of you, I had to leave Eretz Yisrael. Now, you always have a different Gedolei Yisrael. They talk about they never left Eretz Yisrael. Did Rav Chaim Kanievsky ever leave Eretz Yisrael? I don't think he ever left. Oh, Shalom Aleichem, Kalman. Good morning. Shalom Aleichem. How are you? How are you? Good to see you back. Mazel Tov, the opinion I've been of your grandson.
Mazel.
What?
He has to bring in Knabu and Shuda.
Yeah. And Mir Tashem Simchus for everyone. Okay, and Simchus for everyone. Okay, by side. So we always hear different stories like Gedolei Yisrael. Gedolei Yisrael, did they leave Eretz? Did they? You know, people certainly they take pride. They never left Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I'm sure you hold these different stories that they try to persuade a certain Gedolei they should go to America, this, that, to visit, and they never left. They said they never left. They can't. They just never left Eretz Yisrael. They just don't feel right to do it. They're loyal. They're Zionists. They're real Zionists.
Gave an answer. The reason he doesn't go back to Israel is because
he would
be
also
for him to leave.
That's a very hard. I don't believe you. It's hard. So because you're not allowed to leave, you don't go. Okay. It's hard to believe such an answer.
His father-in-law did go to Eretz Yisrael.
It's hard to, like, even the Sad Merav went to Eretz Yisrael.
Even? He had no problem.
He ran away.
He ran, exactly. Even he went. Baruch
Atah Adonai Elohim
Melech Olam
Shakol Nieh
Bezvarel.
That's right. He left Eretz Yisrael.
They
chased him away.
I think he wasn't planning when he came to America. He wasn't planning to stay in America. He came from America. I don't know what he came for. And then he somehow never left. He found that this was his place, and he never went back. Any event, the point of here is that we do find people that they have a chavivus for Eretz Yisrael to such a degree they will never step out of Eretz Yisrael. David appears to have had that chavivus, and his. One of his big complaints he had against Shaul was, because of you, I had to leave Eretz Yisrael. And that was a very bitter pill to swallow. And the story where David left was when Shaul was trying to kill him, and there was nowhere for David to hide, and the only place he felt that he could survive, he could remain alive, was to go to leave Eretz Yisrael, to go to one of the Canaanite, I don't know exactly where, somewhere outside Eretz Yisrael, where there was a king there, his name was Achish. And Achish, he came there and he thought he would be safe. And lo and behold, guess who was the chief of staff for the king of Achish? It was Yishbi Benoiv. Who's Yishbi Benoiv? He was the brother of Goliath. David was famous for killing Goliath. No one thought it was possible to kill Goliath. David miraculously killed Goliath, and he was famous for this. And he was by the Palishtim, he was the number one wanted man. David, at this point in his life, not much that later than when he killed Goliath, he ran. He left Eretz Yisrael. And in Mizmor Lamed Dalet, we learned how David was bitter. Because he had to leave Eretz Yisrael, and he thought he found himself refuge in this kingdom, wherever this place was, and he comes there, and all of a sudden there's someone who recognizes him, and who is that? Goliath's brother. He recognizes David. So then now this person Yishbi did not have the power to murder David on his own. There was some type of a system of law. Well, you can't be a vigilante. You can't take the law into your own, and you have to ask permission to do whatever you want. So he went, he ran to the king Achish, and he said, do you know who's here? Do you know who we've spotted, we've picked up on radar? David, the one who killed my brother. Please give me permission to kill him. So Achish says, let me see him first. Bring him to me. I don't believe you. It can't be that he's here. Bring him to me. David saw what was going on. So David, he decided, he had a spur of inspiration, the only way he could escape now is to make believe he's a meshuggah, he's crazy. Now, Achish had...
Avimelech.
No, not Avimelech, Achish. Gas. Achish Melech Gas. One of the Plishim. And now Achish had in his own family Mishugoyim. Achish suffered. He had in his own family
his mother and his daughter.
He was dealing with this situation in his own family, and maybe that's the reason why David feigned insanity. I guess by Daviding insanity, somehow it would play with the mind of Achish, and Achish. And then before this, there's another piece of the story that before this happened, Chazal said that David was very disturbed. He said, "Hashem, I understand everything in this world." Easy, right? Everything I understand. There's only one thing I don't understand. Why is it that you created in this world a reality where people go insane? Why do you allow people to lose their minds? This serves no benefit whatsoever for humanity. And he complained to Hashem, and Hashem said, David, the day is going to come when you're going to appreciate insanity. And indeed, he comes here to Achish Melech Gas, and Achish Melech Gas is chief of staff. His chief of staff was the brother of Goliath, and he discovers David. He goes to Achish, may I please avenge the blood of my brother. And Achish says, first let me see if it's really him, bring him to me. When they bring him to Achish, so David realizes the only way he's going to be able to escape is that Achish has in his own family Mishugoim, he has people like this. So David feigned insanity. And Achish's famous words, Chasar Mishugoim Oni. Do I lack Mishugoim? What are you doing over here? What are you bringing me this person? David, Chasar Mish, get rid of this guy. Get him out of here. And David miraculously escaped. This Mizmar, this story, at least so far, was discussed in Mizmar Lamed Dalid, and now again in Mizmar Nun Vav, we return to this story once again. So everything in this Mizmar, it's not a long Mizmar, and besides the beginning, it goes very quickly. Not that many Mefarshim toward this Mizmar, but only in the beginning. In the beginning, there's a lot on the Yoinas Elam, but this Mizmar Nun Vav. How does it begin the Mizmor? It says every Shabbos.
Le David,
Kishabarcha b'bnei. Vayigor shele vayelach. Okay, that's the way. That's also the whole Aleph Beis is there in that Mizmor.
Right.
Okay, that Mizmor is the entire Aleph Beis as well. Okay, let's take a look over here. This is the basic background to this Mizmor. We are returning. This story was already discussed. Obviously, it's a whole story in Sefer Shmuel. Really, it would be very good if before we learn every Mizmor, we should really go through the story. That would be a really good idea. Maybe in the future, every time we come to a Mizmar, we should really learn the Perek, or the Perek in Sefer Shmuel, which is the background to the Mizmar. But we're not going to do that today. And we had, again, the story was discussed in Mizmar Lamed Dalid, and now we're doing it for the second time in Mizmar Nun Vav. And we'll see the Malbim is very good at this. The Malbim here gives us a lot of the background, and we'll do some of it as we go through the Psukim. So, but first we begin Lamatseach for the conductor, Al Yoinas Elem, period. For the Yoinas Elem, this is a big topic. What is the Yoinas Elem? A Yoina obviously is a dove, it's a bird. Elem means it has nothing to say. Now let's read the whole pasuk. Rechoikim elem rechoikim kamo. Rechoikim means it's simply telling us, modifying the yoina. Yoina ordinarily has a lot to say. A yoina likes to talk. A yoina makes a lot of noise. However, it's a very powerful musar. When the Yoina finds itself in territory that it's not familiar with, all of a sudden it has nothing to say. This is the nature of this little bird. It's very interesting. There's certain people like this also. When you're at home and you're comfortable, there's certain people in their own home, they don't stop talking. They talk, and when they're in an environment that they're comfortable with. But when they come to an environment that is strange to them, they cannot open their mouth. There are other people the other way around. When they're at home, they don't say a word. They're bored. And when they go to a new environment, they want to make friends. They come to shul, right? Some people in their home, to their wife and children, they don't say a word. They come to shul, they don't stop talking. Okay, they go to a new community. Oh, they run around from person to person. Who are you? This, that. All different types of people. Different situations trigger in the person's mind a different reaction. This bird, the way the Mefarshim explained what I've seen, I don't remember which the Mefarshim I saw, but this bird is a bird, a yoina, which when it's comfortable, when it's at home, when it's in its natural habitat, it sings, it chirps, it makes a lot of noise. But when the yoina finds itself richoikim, in a distant place, a place that it's not natural, it's not where it belongs, it somehow lost track when it was flying, it got lost, and now it's a new environment, all of a sudden, elam. Elam means a deaf mute. It can't get a word out of its mouth. It has nothing to say. David over here is comparing himself to this Yoinas Elim because he was his whole life in Eretz Yisrael. And now, this I think is the only incident where David finds himself leaving the Holy Land. Okay, and that's a very, very important part of this story. David, I don't belong. You hear this with all the Gedolei Yisrael people, the people that are the Zionists. You don't belong in Chutz La'aretz. A Jew belongs in Eretz Yisrael. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, you sing. You sing to Hashem because that's your natural place. When you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, you are Rechoikim. And when you're Rechoikim, you're like the Yoina. Klal Yisrael is compared to a Yoina, one of the creatures. There are only a handful number of creatures to which Klal Yisrael is compared to. And one of them is the Yoina. And the Yoina, when it's not in its natural habitat, it's an Elam. It has nothing to say. When Jews are in Golos, quiet. Keep a low profile. Okay, that's always the Bali Mus say this. In Golos, the Jew in Chutz La'aretz, don't make noise. Don't make noise, don't talk too much, keep a low profile. That is the Musa Haskel. David finds himself in Chutz La'aretz. And here, I'm not in my natural habit, I'm like the Yoina. Klal Yisrael is compared to Yoina, and I've now become Elam, I become a deaf mute, I have nothing what to say. Ad kedei kach, he feigned insanity. Okay, intelligence is synonymous with communication. An intelligent person has the koyach hadibur. That's always the purpose of Hashem's creation of Adam. Vayihi Adam lenefesh chaya, leruach mimalala. What makes man superior over all of the creatures is man's intelligence, which manifests itself in the koyach hadibur. And when a person loses his intelligence, he has nothing what to say. When does man lose his intelligence? When he's not in his natural place, which is in Golos, in Chutz La'aretz. And by the way, this mizmar also, the Mefarshim, they dwell upon this, that this mizmar is maybe one of the most relevant mizmarim for Klal Yisrael today, because we are in Golos. All of the other mizmarim, all different stories where David Melech is crying and speaking and making noise is where David is in Eretz Yisrael. And he's dealing with problems, and it's Malchus, Basheva, and Mochamois, and Avshalom, and all these different stories. But all of those situations is where David is dealing, was living in Eretz Yisrael. When David expresses his frustration in Chutz La'aretz, that is something that we can relate to very well. Because when you're in Chutz La'aretz, you're in a different situation. You're in Golos. We are in Golos. We are not in our natural habitat. So we can relate to this mizmar much more so than any other mizmar in Sefer Tehillim. That's a very important yesod in mizmar. And Rav Mefarshim actually say that, is that this mizmar, because David now is in Golos, he's now like the Yoina who is Rechoikim, and is now in Elam, has nothing what to say. And we have been in Golos for 1,953 years. And even though today you can go back, But unfortunately, we have not yet, not all of us have yet gone back, and we can relate to what it says over here. And the first Musa Haskel is Elam. Don't make noise. The Goyim do not like us. We are a guest in their country. And even though we think that we are big askonim and we call the shots, when push comes to shove, the Goyim, they silence us, and they couldn't care less what we have to say. I think was a very, I always say this, is that COVID was a real wake-up call, that we all think that we have askonim, the politicians, and during COVID, all the askonim couldn't do anything for us. Garnish, it was like, you behave yourself, follow the rules, and don't make noise, and that's the musr of galus. Yoinas Elam Ladavid Michtam, this is a kesempos. Michtam can mean many things, we'll see in the Farsha, can mean many different things. We had Michtam means it's a precious mizmar. Be'echois oisai Philistin Begas, when he was taken by the Philistin in Gas. Now Gas, it's a little bit of a problem because Gas L'chore is in Eretz Yisrael. Gas is the capital of the ancient Philistin. The Philistim, they had many cities.
So when did it become part of Eretz Yisrael? Maybe only after David made the kibush.
Only, no, that's not where he did kibush. He did kibush in Surah. He did kibush in Syria. So I don't know, but Mepharshim make it very clear that this is not an Eretz Yisrael. And we're calling, I guess this part, this Gas, I don't know. I really don't know how to reconcile Gas being not part of Eretz Yisrael.
Was part of
Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, Eretz Yisrael. It is. Okay, so I don't know. Okay, we'll see. Let's see. Okay. So again, this is the first Lamatzef of the note Al Yonas Elim. Al Yonas on the story. We're going to translate it loosely now. Al Yonas Elim, Rechoikim. On the Yoina, you have to read it backwards. The Yoina that is mute, Rechaikim, when it finds itself in a distant location. L'David Michtam. This is for David a Michtam, a precious composition. Michtam means something very special, like a gold. Roshoy Kesem Zav. Kesem Chof Tof Mem. Kesem Zav means something very precious. And the mem, I guess, is a prefix. It's a very precious mizmar. When did he compose this? That's Be'echoiz, or so when he was captured by the Philistim in the city of Gas. Let's see the Mitzudos David and some of the Farshim to get into this thing. Now, the other interpretations, by the way, of the Yonas Elam, some of the Farshim even go so far to say that the Yonas Elam, Rechoikim, is the name of a musical instrument. Okay, you're always going to have someone that's going to say that. And all of these words are just names of musical instruments. Obviously, there are other things. Let's take a look over here, the Mitzudos David in this pasuk, just to get exactly what is the story, the background to this mizmar. Pasuk Aleph on page 493. Al Yonas Elam Bavur Ki Hoya Oz Ki Yoina Foysa Ein Leif. Now, Vehine Lama. The Mitzudos is telling us another popular chazal in regard to the Yonah. There are many birds. We know there are many, many birds. In fact, there are how many birds? Millions of birds, chazal say. And there are only 24 birds that are not kosher, but most of the birds are kosher. And every bird has its own nature, its own character. And the Yonah has a reputation as being a foolish bird. Okay, now that's very painful to hear because Klal Yisrael is compared to the Yonah. It's compared. Noach sent the Yonah out of the Teva to go search if the Mabul came to an end. You don't get the impression when you learn Parashas Noach that the Yonah is a foolish bird. It's a pesi. It's a simpleton.
That's not what Klal Yisrael is compared to when it refers to the Yonah. It's
other qualities.
Yeah.
Loyalty. Yonah is the meat that it's loyal to its mate. If it's zivug, dies, if zivug is disappears, it will never attach itself to another zivug. It's loyal. A Yonah represents the concept of loyalty. The Yonah is able to fly with one wing. It continuously flies, And the way it flies is it just in one wing it rests, and the other wing it flies. So the yonah can fly 24/7. 24/7, it does not need to land. It can keep on going forever and ever. Again, the loyalty to the yonah has obviously very powerful, beautiful qualities. But the yonah is also called a simpleton, a pesi, a naive, innocent creature which is easy to fool and can do foolish things. This is what the Mitzvot of it relates.
Yoni. That's what helps it be so loyal.
Because it's naive. When there's a certain simplicity, when there's simplicity, you don't have to make cheshbonos. If you're too smart, you can outsmart yourself. Absolutely, that's a lesson in life. Don't be so smart. Sometimes you have to be naive and foolish in order to get things done. If you're just going to make too many calculations, then nothing's going to happen. So, Bavur, Ki Hoya Oz, the Mitzudis David, he dwells upon the significance of the Yoinas Elem, meaning a Yoina, that is a simpleton. Very, very foolish. I was then, at this moment in time, like a Yona, posts a foolish Yona, Ein Lev, which has no heart. What does that mean? No. What does that mean? Has no heart. I don't know exactly what that means. It was a famous machloek story. I don't remember the details. There was once a bird that was slaughtered, and someone made a claim. They did a bedigas pinim, and there was no heart. I remember this story. There was a famous. I've written up in the Kankan, that journal. They stopped publishing that journal for some reason, where they went to all the poskim and they made such a big tumult about this shaila, where a bird was slaughtered and the claim was there was no heart. There was no heart. And what is the halacha? So is it true? Is it not true? How could it possibly be? A gansa maisa, whatever it was. But here it's a yoina poisa ein lev. That's what it's called in Sefer Hoshea.
Lev is also referring to the brain intelligence.
The emotion. The emotion, no discernment,
intelligence.
It lacks, right? It's as a simpleton. It lacks intelligence. So David over here is calling. And I was just talking about that's just triggered a memory. But of course, over here it means that it's a foolish. The main word over here is it's poisa. Poisa means it is naive, ein lev. It doesn't have intelligence. Vehi ne'lama. And when there's no intelligence, there is silence. The power of communication is synonymous with intelligence. So David was also, at this moment in time, he was in a distant land. He was not in his setting. And he was really in a very bad situation. So David, according to the Mitzvah, he's telling us that David here is feigning insanity. He made believe he was insane, because I guess in Gas, you have to appreciate it wasn't in Gas, because the king of Gas had family members who were in this category, so he probably enacted laws, passed laws in the country to have rachmanis on these people. In a regular country, so if someone is lacking intelligence, so they'll just kill him. Well, just he's of no value to society, and therefore they'll end his life.
Eliminate,
right, exactly. Hitler, yamach shmo v'zichro. That was the first thing he went. The first thing he did. The first thing he went. Kent came to a hospital. And they murdered all of the people that were ill. Right away, that was the first thing. So in a country, so feigning insanity in a regular country is not going to do you well. It's going to be the person is going to be eliminated very quickly. But David here was clever. David here knew who the king was. He had a dossier on the king of Gas. He knew that in his family, he had members of his family that were in this situation. And because he was the king, he passed laws to have rachmanis on these type of people. And they had special amenities. Like in America, don't get me started, certain types of people, you would think the whole country are these types of people. Because there are certain people who favor these people, and because they favor these people, they go and they create loss. So David, let me take advantage. I will feign insanity. And in this country, no one would dare touch an insane person. Because that's exactly what the king of Gath has enacted, because he has his own family, people like this. Yes, exactly. He had a dossier. He knew exactly. Yeah, when you go to a country, you got to know how to play the system. You got to know how to take advantage of all the laws. And you just join the bandwagon. And that's exactly what David did. David made himself into a Yoinas Elam, which is a metaphor for an insane person. That would be to his advantage, because he was now Rechoikim. He was far away from his hometown, and he had no support, no one to help him, and he had very little chance of being able to escape. That's how the Mitzudos David learns Pshat. We gave you the Hakdam, I gave you a whole different Pshat. But the Mitzudos of the Pshat, Bavur Ki Hoyo Oz Ki Yoyne Foysa, Ein Leif, he made himself into this type of creature to his advantage. The Hine Lama, which does not have anything to say. The Av Hoyo Oz Rach Mi Yartsov Hoyo Ben Anim Neliv Royach. Michtam, HaMizmar HaZeh Hoyo Chav Be'ein Of Ki Kesem Pos. He learns what Michtam comes from the word the finest gold. Okay, it's called Kesem Paz. Paz means gold. What's Kesem? I don't know. It's some word which relates to the gold. It's an expression. The finest gold, and that's why it's called the Michtam. They wanted to kill him. Asher Horag Bepelishtim Beyoso Imshol, because he, the Rambam doesn't tell you the details, because they discovered this is the person who killed Goliath. Goliath was the top soldier of the Plishtim. David killed him. They discovered, here he is, we got him. Let's look over at Rashi.
What was he doing in Gath now? He killed Goliath. That means he was already...
No, because he was running from Shaul. He was running away. Shaul was in hot pursuit of David. And he made an assessment that the safest place for him to go is the Gath. The beginning. This is the beginning, right? We're going back now to the beginning of the Zohar. We're vacillating in the timeline. The previous Mizmah, we went to Achitofel, which is much later. We're now going backwards to an earlier time in his life, before his Malchus was established, and Shaul was in hot pursuit, and his assessment was the safest place was to go to Gath. And there...
He ran to another place before with his family.
Moab. They killed him. Moab. He went to the nation of Moab. And they killed his parents. He thought they'd be safe there, and they killed the Yishai and David's mother. And in fact, some of the Mefarshim, Nechemes Anoch, has a very, very fascinating discussion about this here, and actually in this Mizmar, which we'll come to soon. Okay, let's see over here, Rashi.
Is this the same as the David, the Shanoso Islam?
Yes.
That's
later. Same thing.
That is the generic name.
Avimelech is the generic name of the leader of the Pelishtim, and Paro is the generic name of the leader of the Egyptians, and there's more examples of this. Who is the leader of Nineveh? I forgot. Every kingdom has a generic name for their leader. Let's see. Over here, in Rashi. Rashi says, "Yoinas Elim Rechaykim Al Atzmai Amar." Shaya Rechayk Me'eret. I'm reading Rashi on page 492 to get into exactly the theme of this mizmar. Al Atzmai Amar Shaya Rechayk Me'eret Yisrael Eitzel Ochish. That was the name of the king. So you're right. So Avimelech and Ochish is one and the same. Avimelech is the president of the United States. Okay, the prime minister. It's Paro. It's the title of the head of state, and each head of state has his own personal name, Ochish. When he ran to Ochish, v'hoyu echav shel Goliath mevach shus me Ochish. The brothers of Goliath, Lahargoy, they were the chief of staff, they were the secretary of defense, they were in the cabinet. The people, the brothers of Goliath, these were all the children of Arpah was one of Naomi's daughter-in-laws, and when Arpah separated herself from Naomi, she married someone else, and she had all of these children who were the biggest enemies of the Jewish people, and they were the nemesis of the child Okay, wait, okay, the time, we have to go through the timeline. Okay, go to the time when they were descendants. They were descendants from Naomi. Naomi had two daughter-in-laws, and their two daughter-in-laws were trying to kill each other. The two daughter-in-laws, one produced David, and the other daughter-in-law produced Goliath. Goliath and Yishbi Binoif, that was his name, that was the brother of Goliath. And here are the brothers of Goliath. They discovered David. Now, the law was, it's interesting, they just could not take the law into their own hands. There was some type of system of justice in society. You couldn't just get up and murder someone, you had to get permission.
Today, you don't need permission to murder.
What?
Today, you don't need permission.
Today, you don't need permission. Say, do whatever you want. Those days, you need to permit what it says. I'm not making this up. Volume of action, rishus. Could you imagine? You just can't kill someone. You need permission. Rishus. Me'achesh lahargoy shenemar haloy zedavim melech haaretz. Look who's here. Look who has shown up in our community. David melech haaretz. For who this is said, v'shmu v'hu hoya b'neim kiyoyna ilemes. David. Now, so Rashi, what I told you in the very beginning is Rashi. The Mitzudo is the holder from Shat. David now was compared to a Yonah e Lemes that has nothing to say. As I mentioned before, it is the nature of a Yonah to talk a lot, to chirp, to make lots of noise. Only when the Yonah is in its natural setting. But when the Yonah finds itself in foreign territory, all of a sudden the Yonah can't get a word out of its mouth. And that's exactly what happened to David. David found himself in a situation that he was not familiar with. He's in a foreign land. He doesn't know the rules. He doesn't know the territory. He has no friends, no mahalchim in this place. And now they want to kill him. And David does nothing what to say. And he resorts to feigning insanity. Let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim also sheds some light on this story. The Malbim, you have to turn to the next page, I believe. It's not Malbim. The Malbim talks about this story a little bit later on. Okay, let's look at Pasuk Zayin, even though this is way ahead, but let's look at Pasuk Zayin to get a little bit of an idea of how he learns what's going on in this story. On the next page 494, just to get a little bit of flavor of what is going on over here. Actually, we'll go back to Pasuk Vav. Kol Hayom, Ata Shav L'Inyan HaPlishtim, Sheshina Estamu Be'Enayim. Okay, Pasuk Vav on page 494. 494 on the very bottom of the page. 494 on the bottom of the page. Okay, even though we didn't do the Pasuk, I just want to give you some background. Kol hayoim ata now, shavlin ha-pelishtim, shashina estamo be'enehem. David feigned insanity. Veheim divrei...
Wait, page 494?
494, Pasuk Vav. Pasuk, even though we didn't do the Pasuk, I'm just reading this. 494, Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav, Kol Hayoyim, Ata now, Shav, just look at the gist of what it says, because we didn't do the Pasuk yet. I just want to give you background. Ata now, Shav Lin HaPlishtim, we're returning to the story. Sheshino Es Ta'amo Be'enehem. David, he changed his flavor, which is an expression to mean he feigned insanity. He made believe he was not normal. He was missing his marbles. Veheim divarai ye'atsevu, words which are sad. What does that mean? Sheheim lo heminu ki meshuguhu. Yishbi benoiv, they didn't believe it. They didn't fall for David's trick. They didn't fall for it. Vehishtadlu sheyis atsev hamelech. The word ye'atsevu means, I guess, eitzah. The Malbim. I'm reading the Malbim, Pasuk Vav, on page 494, Pasuk Vav. V'shtadlu sheyisatzev hamelech midvarav v'inyano, v'yachshoiv shebo l'ragel es haaretz. The people who saw David did not believe David was insane. They did not believe, they knew he was tricking them. However, they still needed permission from the king to eliminate him. But the king, Achish, fell for it. And they were watching David like a hawk to see if he exhibits some signs of sanity.
Was that his own?
Yes, he was all alone. The alai kol machshavoy samlerosh af achar shepitoroi ochish choshvu lehoraloi. Even though David was given ochish a pass, the people still wanted to secretly go around him and to kill him. And I'll go to look at the next pasuk. Yoguru shepochadu mimenu shemi shane estamo bekavono. The people were onto him. The people, the Pelishtim in the city, they thought that David was just making believe he was meshuga. V'alken yitzponu hitminu es atzmam b'tzeisoy mipelishtim lirois be'ezed derech hoylech v'heima akeva yishmeru lirois m'hoylech ki'ish meshuga oloi v'ze osu midas atzmam kasher kivu nafshi lehorgeni. In essence, what he's saying is that they brought him to Achish. Achish tested him. He tested him to see if he's really crazy or not. And Achish said, this guy is a meshugana. Get him out of the, give him a visa to get out of this country. Give him an exit pass. Get him out of here. Ki chasar meshugoy money. I have enough crazy people. Get rid of this fellow. The people there were very disappointed because the people knew that David, they really suspected that this really is David. It really is David. And he was feigning insanity. And they did not give up. Even though the king said, he's not David. He's a meshugana. Get rid of him. The people said, we're not finished with him yet. And they watched his every step as he departed the country, hoping to find evidence that he really is David, and then they'll be able to go back to Achish and get permission to renew the case and to kill him. So they watched his every step, and they wanted to see exactly how he conducted himself, and David had to be on guard. Just because he got an exit pass to leave the country and to escape the danger, he knew he had to be on guard every single second because they were watching him like a hawk. This is what the background to the story is. Now, let's see over here what it says over here in the Likutei Shas. Okay, we're going back now to page 493. Page 493, on the bottom of the page, Lamnatzeach, in the Likutei Shas, Pasuk Aleph, Lamnatzeach al Yonas Elem, Rechoikim leDavid Michtam, He Mutzeis. Okay, a lot of the Mepharshim dwell upon this. They use this Pasuk as a springboard to talk about Yehuda and Tamar. Okay, for some reason they use this pasuk has become a magnet to the story of Yehuda and Tamar. What was the story of Yehuda and Tamar? Yehuda, he left his father and his brothers after the aftermath of Mechiras Yosef, and he got married, and he had three children, Er, and Onan and Shelah, and he took a daughter-in-law, a wife for his son Er. And Er died. He gave her to Onan, he died. So Tamar wanted to marry Shelah, the third son. Yehuda said, no way. If she'll marry Shelah, he'll also die. She's a katlonis. She's already responsible for the death of two of my children. I'm not going to go give her to my third child. So he pushed her away. And then what happened? Yehuda one day, he saw what he thought was a zoina on the road, and he lived with her. And he gave her the simonim, the psil, the chistem, his signet ring, the mate, and his cloak. Gave her simonim, and then he told his friend Chiro Adulami, get me back my simonim. Give her payment. The esnan zoina, go give her the animal. She wanted an animal for her services. Here is the payment. Get me back the collateral. Get me back my deposit. Chira Hawadulami goes to find her. Can't find her. Looks here, looks there, nowhere to be found. He comes back to Yehuda. Yehuda, what could I tell you? We can't find her. So he's, okay, I tried. I did the best that I could. She doesn't want to come get her animal. She has my staff, my signet ring, and my cloak. What could I do about it? Let's move on with life. 9 months later, what does he hear? Guess who's pregnant? Guess who's pregnant? Your daughter-in-law, Tamar, is pregnant. Yehuda says, pregnant? How is she pregnant? How is she not married? Take her out to burn her, to kill her, execute her. She's not like, she was mezaneh, a disgrace. My daughter-in-law was mezaneh, even though she's no longer married. She's take her out to be executed. And as she's been taken out to be executed, she did not want to embarrass Yehuda. She sends him the simonim. Lemi asher ela, to the one who these items belong, that is whom I am pregnant from. You are the father of this child. So it says, he mutzes. She was being taken out to execution. So here it says over here. It says over here in here it says in page 493 on the bottom. He me totes me boyule. If we knew anything about grammar, we would know that this is not grammatically correct. It's not mutzes. It's he me totes me boyule. This should be in the feminine form. The feminine form with the tav, that she with the tav, it should say he me totes me boyule. L'shoyin hoitzo b'al karach. What he's saying over here is mutzes means she's been taken willingly. Me with a tav, I mean, not the feminine form, it means with the tav that has the grammatical form, she was being taken out against her will to be executed. Why does it say willingly? He mut me totes me boyle. L'shoyin hoitzo b'al karach. De mutzes mashmo l'shoyin mitzia. The word mutzes means to find. Okay, the word mutzes lashnov is she found. So what's something over here is not correct? Along comes the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar liacha shenimtsu simoneha. It means a mitzia. Mutzes means they found something. What do you mean? What do they found something? So he explains. What did they find? They found the choysam upsilim umate shel Yehuda. What does that mean? It means she presented to Yehuda or to the messengers the simonim, but there's more to the story. They don't tell you this in kindergarten. They presented the evidence to the messengers, but the evidence somehow mysteriously disappeared. It disappeared. She handed over the signet ring, the cloak, and the mate. Give this to Yehuda and tell him the one to whom this belongs is the one for whom I'm pregnant. And guess what? And then all of a sudden, it disappeared. It disappeared. And she said, she probably sent a message to Yehuda, did you get the simonim? And Yehuda said, what simonim? Ask your messengers. Simonim? The Department of Justice made the evidence conveniently disappear. Exactly. There was corruption. You think the more things change, the more they stay the same. The evidence, mysteriously, do you know there was a fire over here about 2 months ago in New York? There was a big fire over here, one of the piers. A very mysterious, all the evidence of many, many crimes, many very high profile crimes went up in smoke. Or you think it just accidentally burnt, got burnt? Just like that. What are the chances? What? You think it was just an accident that this on the piers? It went up. Just conveniently, like an accident. Just the whole thing blew up. Come on. Don't be so naive. Someone very sophisticated went and made sure that whole warehouse, that warehouse went up in smoke, because in that warehouse there was a lot of extremely valuable evidence being stored by the police and the FBI.
They were old files. They were old court files.
Which they claim.
More than this evidence. There was a lot of evidence. They said a lot of important evidence, a lot of different cases. Fine. So, Bo Samuel v'richa kon. Along came the Malach Samuel, and he basically hid the evidence. It should not be found. So, why isn't that a good guy? That way, he should be killed. That way, if evidence is not going to be found, Tamar would be executed. Good morning, am I calling? Good morning. Watch your step. So, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, so therefore, Kidei Sheti Sodef, Bo Gavriel v'Kervon. Along came Gavriel. Says, no. We don't want Tamar to die. And he discovered, he revealed the evidence. That's why it says the word Mitzia. There was some hanky-panky going on over here. There were forces out there, and you have to understand why this is so, because who's going to come from Tamar? Who is destined to come from Tamar? Melech HaMashiach, exactly. And over here, in her womb, are twins, Peretz and Zerach. Peretz will be the progenitor of the Melech HaMashiach, and Samuel, who is the Sar Shel Esav, does not want there to be the Melech HaMashiach. So here, she's being taken out to her execution, and her only chance is the evidence, the Simonim, is the evidence that the one that she is pregnant from is her father-in-law, and that would save her. And that evidence, the Malach Samuel, the Sar Shel Esav, has hidden. Along comes Gavriel, the good guy, the good Malach, and reveals it. It's a mitzia. He mutzeis. So really, you're saying the pasuk he. Exactly. It should say he mitzeis. The correct grammatical word is that she was being taken out to her execution. That's the way, I don't know the grammar, that's the way it should have been said with the tav. She was being taken out. Why is that tav missing? The answer is, it's alluding to the concept of a mitziah, a finding. What was found? What was lost that needed to be found? What was lost were the simonim. Who hid the simonim? Samuel hid the simonim because he did not want Peretz to be born. He did not want the Melech HaMashiach to come into this world. So along came Gavriel, and Gavriel revealed, produced the mitziah. He mutzeis. Now, what does this have to do with this mizmor? Very, very nice story. They didn't teach you this stuff in kindergarten about, I never knew this, about the simonim disappearing and reappearing by Samuel and Gavriel. What, that's part of it, and that's why it says, it didn't bother you, Mark, why it says, he mutzeis, he mitutzeis. When Kriyas HaTorah, all the years when the Kriyas HaTorah didn't bother you to no end, the grammar is not perfect. How are you able to move on when you read that parasha? It should have said he mutzeis. How come it mitutzeis? Well, now you know why it says mutzeis. Hainu dichsev. This is relevant to our mizmar. Lamnatzeach al yoinas elem rechoikim ledavid michtam. Omar Rabbi Yochanan misho shen nisrachaku simonecha nases ki yoino ilemes. It's referring to Tamar. When the simonim disappear, they're taking out her. So she says, wait a minute, you're killing me? Didn't you give the message over to Yehuda? I gave you evidence. I handed you evidence to give to Yehuda. What are you taking me out to die? Didn't you give it? We don't know what you're talking about. We don't know what you're talking about.
What evidence?
The evidence was limited. So she went into shock. She became Tamar like a Yonah Elam, like a Yonah that has nothing to say. From all of the creatures of the world, when there's a creature that has nothing to say, when they're in shock, it's the Yonah. When it's in a matzav of Rechaikim, what am I going to do now?
But that's not the only interpretation. She didn't want to shame him in public,
right?
And that's what
so it backfired. Okay, that's another sort. Right. But it backfired on her. Exactly, she went and it backfired. She did not present the evidence directly. She did not present it, but she presented it indirectly in order not to embarrass him. But it backfired on her because the messenger hid the evidence. Because the messenger was Samuel in disguise, who knew who she was carrying in her womb and did not want that person to be born. So it backfired on her. And when she realized it's too late, my attempt to be good, no good deed goes unpunished. I gave him the evidence to a messenger in order not to publicly embarrass him, let him realize on his own what is happening over here. And because I tried to be good to him, the messenger took advantage of me and hid and destroyed the evidence. And now the evidence is that I'm going to die. She became like the Yoinas Elam, who is now Rechaikim, that's in a distant place, and there's no solution. Further, she became Kiyoina Elames, Lidavid Michtam. Sheyotza mimena David shayamoch ona v'sam tamim bedrachav lakol, but ultimately it was found. It was found, and leDavid michtam, and from her, from Tamar came Peretz, and it goes to the whole yichus at the end of Sefer Rus. Oyved Yishai David. David is called michtam. What is michtam? Michtam is a play on the word. It's michtam. We change the chav. It's a chav. It's moch. What is moch? Moch means humble. It's two words, a composite of two words. Moch, tam. Moch is humble. Tam is complete. Sheyotza mimenu David shayamoch v'tam lakol. So this is an incredible a medrash, okay, which is mamish taking this pasuk out of context. And taking this pasuk and using it to tell us the story of the birth of David's ancestor, of Peretz. Okay, she Tamar became the Yoinas Elam when the Simonim were hidden, and Yoinas Elam Ruchaikim. Yet ultimately she prevailed. The Malach Gavriel came to the rescue, and from that union, and from that, and from her came. Le David Michtam, came forth David, who is Moch Vitam.
It's funny, we always say that the Malachim have their mission. So
all right, these are the mystical things. You are totally correct. Now look over here at the Chumash Anoch. He also plays with this. The Chumash Anoch on page 493 over here, on page 493. Lanatzeach al Yonas Elim, Razal, Perakama de Soyde Daf Yud, coming up soon. Soyde Daf Yomi is coming up soon. Soyde Darshu Pasik Zal Tamar. The Darshans, this Pasik, okay, this is going to be a Gemara coming up soon, Al Tamar. Kishisholcha Hasimonim Li Yehuda. The Sitra Achra is another way to describe Samuel. Okay, the Sitra Achra is the koich of evil, the powers of evil in this world. I'm in the Chumash Anoch. I'm just reading the same thing in different words. Okay, this is Dav Yudim Sechta Saita. The Sitra Achra, Riche Kasimonim, Uvo Gavriel Vikervon. Along came the forces of good. They are the forces of evil, the forces of good, and caravan, which means found them. Look what we got here. Look what we got. Look what I found in the garbage. I found the simonim. Uchush nisrachaku ha-simonim. But at the moment when the evidence that she presented to the shliach disappeared conveniently by the Department of Justice, where did it go? Just disappeared? Uchush nachaku ha-simonim nases kiyoina ilenes. Le David Michtam, the same exact thing. Sheyatza mimena David ayin sham umein dug mevshel farish al imay. Then he goes over here into something very, very interesting, which we really spent a lot of time on. We spent a lot of time on before. We're not going to do it again about the whole story of the story of David's mother. David's mother with the Shifcha, when Yishai wanted to guarantee that he will have Zera Shel Kayama, that will be part of Klal Yisrael, and he wanted to live with his Shifcha, and the Shifcha revealed the secret to David's, to Yishai's wife, and and Yishai live with, not knowingly, he lived with his own wife. She became pregnant. He thought that she became pregnant out of wedlock, and David that came from that was a mamzer, a whole story. He takes this pasuk of Yonas Elam in reference to that, but we're not going to do that now because we did it before already more than once. We have to move to other things. So that he goes on, he elaborates very interestingly on that story and adds a whole new dimension into that story. Okay.
There's somewhere else, maybe it's in Yeshayahu, where it says, Matzah David Abdi.
He mutzeis. That's by Lot.
Also refers back to that.
Right. Also by Lot, that was yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf
right.
in Nazir also talks about
Lord
of the two daughters. Also, David, it says, the Medrash also says that David over there was found over there. David's yichus from beginning to end is always very, very strange.
It's a lesson in how you don't know what's going to be.
You don't know what's going to be. A lot of different avenues to go to go look at it. Every single step of the way, from starting with Lot, and then Yehuda and Tamar, and then Yishai. The whole story, Yishai, where Yishai lived with the Shifcha, and they thought that David was a mamzer. And so there are three major events where David's yichus is very, very disturbing. Okay, now let's. So this is the basic gist of this mizmar, of the opening to this mizmar, and now let us do. Okay, let's do one more parish inside before we run through the mizmar, because this is good. Let's take a look over here at the Radak. The Radak also describes the background to the mizmar. Okay, pasuk on page 493 in the Radak on the top, towards the top, this is the first wide line. La matzeach al yonas elim rechaykim l'david michtam. David calls himself the Yoinas Elam. He calls him the foolish, the Yoina that has nothing to say, that suddenly is silent when he finds himself in Gas. Okay, next page, page 495 on the top. Shebarach mibnei Shol. This is when he ran away from Shol. The Amani says, Be'echoiz. Shechoshvu Pelishtim l'ochazoy ulaham Yisrael. The Pelishtim, they caught him. Ah, we got him. Finally, we got our enemy. Kisha amru l'ochish. Ha'aloi ze David melech ha'aretz. Look who we got. Ad shemerov pachtoi hishoylel biyadam v'os atzmai mishuga. Due to David, he was terrified of what was coming upon him. He made himself into a mishuga. Lefichach kore atzma. That's why he called himself the Yoinas Elam. So I mentioned this before. According to the Radak, is a little bit more precise. He's saying that the Yoinas Elam is a meshuga, is a term describing not just. It's different than it's a little bit different than we learned on Mefarshim. It's not just he has nothing what to say. It is an expression which means a creature that is insane. Has absolutely no das. He feigned insanity and made himself into a kiyoina hagoyla mimukaima, a goyoina that is an exile. The haya ilayim b'neihem. And when a yona finds itself in galus, it goes meshuga. Shlo haya yochel adaber kimishpatay vidatay. It's unable to communicate in the normal way due to the terror of being in a foreign location. Ella kidivrei meshugo, like a crazy person. Oy, another interpretation. Kara atzma yoinas elem lefi shesom atzma ki ilu ein boidas kmo yona kmo shoymer olecha yoine foisa ein leif. I know the second interpretation is very similar to the first interpretation, but just saying over here is that he, either he did it deliberately or it was natural. The difference in the first interpretation is that the terror was so great, he was involuntary. He was so terrified, he mamish became crazy. He mamish became silent. And in the second interpretation, David was in full control of himself, and it was nothing more than just a show. It was just make-believe. And against this is the Musar, I don't remember where I saw this, this is the Musar for Klal Yisrael and Golos. When we are in Golos, we are just like David, the Yoinas Elam. It's almost like a Limud Zuchus, that Hashem cannot complain, can blame us. When we find ourselves in Golos, we're like David, who found himself in Golos, and he became a Yoinas Elam, he lost his mind. And if we do Averos, Rachmanu Litzlan, we can say to Hashem, what do you want from us? It's not our fault. Here we are, we're in Golos, we're terrified. We're terrified, and we have become like the Yoinah Foyse Ein Leif. So you have to give us some slack and be lenient with us. If we were living in Eretz Yisrael and we were comfortable in our own land, then we would be responsible for our behavior. But when we are in foreign soil, this is not what we're accustomed to. We are only guests in a foreign land and our enemies hate us. So we lose control of our minds, and the decisions that we make are not correct. And we're asking Hashem to have rachmanis upon us and not to hold us fully responsible for our deeds. So again, we relate to this mizmor to a very large degree, because this is where David was in Golos, and here we're in Golos as well. Let's just do a little bit of psukim. Let's run to a few psukim very quickly for a few minutes. Pasuk Beis, Chaneni, Pasuk Beis 494. Chaneni Elokim ki she'afani enosh. Hashem, show me favor. That is a very good word, she'afani enosh. What does it mean, she'afani? The Mitzvah stuff says they swallow me up. There are many different words for swallow. In belia, there are people who are trying to swallow me up, enosh people. Kol hayam, the entire day, loichem yilchotzeni. The entire day, Mitzvah stavit, she'afani enosh, b'nei adam ritzim levloya oisiv v'chol hayam yilchatz oisich haloichem. The word yilchatz means to oppress. The entire day, my oppressors are waging war against me. V'chol hayamim yilchatz oisich haloichem, be those that wage war against me are oppressing me. Ki bevarchim b'nei shol pagubi plishtim. When I run from shol, I find myself in a new territory of enemies, the plishtim. The ainli mekoyim monois, I have no place to run. Wherever I go, they come to get me. Pasuk gimel shoafu shorai. Again, he repeats the word a second time. Those who look at me. The word shorirai, we had this before a few times, it means people that gaze and stare at me. When I came to this place, they started, look, who is this person? He looks familiar. He looks just like that guy on the sign, the 10 most wanted, on the wanted list. So they kept on staring at him. Yet, he's not 100% normal, this person. Maybe he's not the right guy. So they kept on looking and looking and looking intensely. They swallow me up, those that look at me, kol hayom, ki rabim, there are many people, loichamim, lim, moroim. What does that mean from above? Pasuk gimel, the mitzudais, shrafu, sharai, hamestaklim, l'ruach, choishkim, levalein, they desire to swallow me up, moroim, ritzoin loimar. Now this is a little bit of a twist in the mitzudais, ato Hashem, hayoyishev v'shmeimar. The word moroim, according to the Mitzudais, is a reference to Hashem. You Hashem, who reside on high, re'esi, see what is going on. Ki rabim loichamim imi, v'heim shol uflishtim. So what we have to do here, according to the parish of the Mitzudais, is we have to read the words out of order. Okay, classic nach. Read the words out of order. And basically the word moroim should have been put at the beginning of Pasuk Beis. Okay, moroim choneni, or there it says, you know, choneni elokim moroim. May you, Hashem elokim, who resides in the highest place, in the moroim, may you show me favor, because my enemies are trying to swallow me up. They're oppressing me the entire day. Those who gaze at me swallow me up, and there are many of them. Okay, so the word moroim, it's closing the sentence. You mention that it's sort of a certain form of poetry. You begin with Elokim and you end with Elokim. Choneini Elokim, and the end of the sentence is moroim. And he's basically saying is, Hashem, you know what's going on. And you, Hashem, I beg you to save me from the enemies that are trying to devour me in every location that I go. Next pasuk dal yoim ira, yoim ira, ani elecha eftach. On the day that I'm afraid, to you I have faith. Pasuk dal in the mitzudos yoim ira avol biyom shetig dal moirai. The day when I'm terrified, eftach elecha ki biyotcha lahalit silenim lahat silenim yad kulam. You, Hashem, can save me. Pasuk hei belukim ahahalel. In Hashem, ahalel divar, I praise. Ahalel divaro belokim. Ahalel divaro. Okay, let's see. Kama belokim batachti lo ira ma yaseh vosarli mitzudois. Pasuk hey belokim. Return the lemar. Eftach belokim. I have faith in Hashem. He's reading the whole thing together. Belokim v'ahalelenu, and I praise him al divaroi. On his promise. Hashem promised that I will be the king. I will be the king, not Shaul. And I will. And Hashem promised he'll take care of me. So therefore, I have faith in the word. When did Hashem tell him this? Through Shmuel. Shmuel anointed him. So one more time, Pasuk came the Mitzudos. Return Lemar. Eftach Velokim. Va'ahalalenu. I will praise Hashem al Devaro. Shiftiachli. Hamalucha. He promised I'll be the king. V'alki batachti v'lukim lo ira. Because I have faith in Hashem, I'm not afraid. Ki ma yaseh adam li. No one can harm me. If Hashem promises me that I'll be okay, there's nothing to worry about. Haloi lo yuchal levatel haftachas Hashem. You cannot cancel Hashem's haftacha. So one more time, the pasuk says, v'lukim ahalel in Hashem ahalel divaro. I will praise Hashem for His words, the words that I will be the king. V'lukim batachti in Hashem I have faith. Lo ira, I'm not afraid. If Hashem promised me, there's nothing to be afraid of. Mayasev asali. Okay, next pasuk. Kol hayom divar, the entire day, divarai ya'atsevu olai. Every day, they try to seek counsel against me. We'll see this. We learned this before. We'll see, one second. Kol machshavaisam lora. Mitzudois pasuk vav. Divarai ya'atsevu al yidehem. Through my enemies, kol divarai hema divrei itzavon vitzar. He learns the word yatsevu to mean sad, sadness. And you have this by Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah called atzavim. Why is an idol called sad? Because false hope. You believe in the idol and the end is, it does nothing for you. Disappointment. A piece of wood, a piece of stone that you bow down to, ultimately causes you great sadness. You bow down to it, you give it an offering, and you expect that the stone or the wood is going to bring you happiness and joy, and nothing comes from it. And you're disappointed. And disappointment is synonymous with sadness. So here, we're using that same word in this context. Because I have so many enemies that are trying to eliminate me and ruin my life, all the words that come out of my mouth are sad. I'm a sad person, David says. Kol hayom, the entire day, divarai ya'atsevu olai. The words that come forth from my mouth bring sadness upon me. Why? Because of my enemies. Kol machshavaisam lara, because all of their thoughts against me are for evil, and I'm always trying to escape and just survive to live another day. Again, the words of the Mitzudos, the words are, Devarai yatsevuk al yidehem, kol devarai hema yidivrei yitzavon v'tsar ki kol machshavaisam olai lara v'doeg ani bazeh. That's why I'm worried, okay? So we're going to do the Rashi soon, and tomorrow we can move on to the next pasuk. The Rashi, Shafani, Mitzapim levalem, they want to swallow me up. What is that word over there in the old French?
To long or to be impatient.
That
was to yearn to swallow me up.
To yearn to swallow me up. Kimo shoafa ruach. Loichem lashem ulchama marom hakadosh baruch hu shu yoshev marom. He learns Rashi and the Mitzudos for a change. Agree on the pshat. They actually agree. The word marom is defining Hashem. And os aleph perish Rashi zal marom hakadosh baruch hu return lema ata Hashem ayeshev b'shamayim yadata sheyesh ram haluchim aluchim imodi V'kalahavin. They both say the same thing. This is it's interesting. It doesn't really fit into the translation, but it's basically it's sustained by itself. You Hashem who live on high, know that my enemies are attempting to swallow me up. They look at me the entire day with eyes of hate and envy to make trouble. Pasuk Hey, Belokim Ahalul Devaroi Af B'Shar Shehu Bo Imi B'Midas Hadin. Now here is a drush. Why does it say Elokim? Elokim is Midas Hadin. Even when Hashem is, this is a very powerful Libun Musar, even when Hashem is dealing with me, is conducting himself with me, with Midas Hadin, I still thank Hashem. Af B'Shar Shehu Bo Imi B'Midas Hadin Ahalel Devaroi. I praise him. Ve'eftachbo. Now that is a really tough pill to swallow. Okay, you see this palay, these two children. Okay, two children. They were dressed for Shabbos. They got dressed for Shabbos, and they went to all the shuls to collect the pushkas. Unbelievable. They were mamash preparing for Shabbos, tzedakah, and their pure holy neshamas were taken to Shemayim. Could there be a greater Midas Hadin than this? No way. And yet their mother publicly, it's went out to the entire world, was Mastik Aleha Es Hadin, and spoke with incredible dignity, and she mamish personifies what this pasuk says. Who can stand in her shoes, this woman? She personifies that even Belokim, when the Ribbono Shel Olam has dealt me the ultimate Midas Hadin, to take these pure, beautiful children who have done nothing wrong, who have prepared for Shabbos Kodesh, and Isaac in Chesed, and their lives, and you have to see the video, see the clip. It's even on CNN. Even on CNN. Hayitachin. Even on CNN. Belokim. Hashem has dealt me Midas Hadin yet Ahalel Devara. Belokim, even though Hashem has dealt with Midas Hadin, but Tachti, Lo Ira, I'm not afraid. Mayase Vasali. Okay, look at Rashi. A commentary of what happened. Af Bisha'o Shubo Imi B'Midas Hadin? Doesn't matter. Ahalel divaroi ve'eftachboi. I praise Hashem and I continue to put my faith in Hashem. Unbelievable. No pile ploim. These words of Rashi, they jump out of the page in light of what happened last Erev Shabbos. All right? We're going to... Oh, the one more pasuk in Rashi. One pasuk. Kol yom yedivarai yad sevu. Ma'atzivin oisi roitfai. My enemies cause me sadness. Ad shekol divrei fi etzev utzaaka. Every word that comes out of my mouth is sad, and I cry because I have so many enemies. All right. So tomorrow we're going to go further. Tomorrow we're going to start with pasuk Zion. The pasuk, no, pardon, the pasuk Zion.